And indeed, you're tuned into Free Radio Santa Cruz 96.3 FM. My name is the V-Man, and this is Rockin' the Boat. Today, we are going to be discussing Halliburton's role in post-war Iraq. And joining me on the phone is Prothop Chatterjee. During his post as defense secretary from 1989 to 1993, Dick Cheney oversaw one of the largest privatization efforts in the history of the Pentagon, steering millions of federal dollars to civilian contractors. 2.5 years after Bill Clinton was elected, Cheney began cashing in on the very contracts that he helped initiate. In 1995, with virtually no experience in the oil industry, former Secretary of Defense Dick Cheney was named CEO of Halliburton, one of the world's largest providers of products and services to the petroleum and energy industries. Cheney's 5 years with the company were some of its most profitable. The company doubled in size under Cheney through a series of mergers and government contracts. Now, with Cheney as vice president, Halliburton is doing better than ever. Profits nearly doubled for the first quarter of 2003 after receiving a 2-year, no-bid contract to fight oil well fires in Iraq and to help clean up the war's aftermath. Now, as the United States tries to persuade the United Nations Security Council to lift sanctions and hand over control of Iraq's vast oil revenues to the U.S., it has come to light that the Halliburton contract was an even bigger sweetheart deal than first imagined. We now turn to investigative reporter Prothop Chatterjee. He first looked into Halliburton as a research coordinator for Project Underground, a Berkeley-based environmental watchdog group. Prothop Chatterjee has written extensively about corporate wrongdoing with more than 1,000 articles printed in journals like the Multinational Monitor, the Progressive Magazine, the Guardian, and the Financial Times of London, to name a few. He currently writes for CorpWatch.org and is the co-host of Terra Verde, heard each Friday afternoon on KPFA in Berkeley, and he is also, or was formerly, that city's environmental commissioner. Last year, Prothop Chatterjee was on assignment in Afghanistan, Turkmenistan, and Uzbekistan, and earlier this year he traveled to Incirlik, Turkey. He joins us from the road in Northern California today here on Rockin' the Boat. Hi, Prothop. Thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us.
Hi, Vinny. Thanks for having me on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Tell us a little bit about how some of these contracts work. The Pentagon has sort of an open-ended contract with one of Halliburton's subsidiaries, Kellogg Brown and Root. What is this contract? And I understand it's a cost-plus contract. What exactly is that?
Well, there's two elements of the contract. One is it's something called an IDIQ contract, which means the military can send them anywhere in the world for any amount of money, which they don't have to determine in advance, which is a little different from the traditional way military contracts have been awarded, because typically if a company gets a contract that's worth over $5 million, it has to be announced to the public. And so what the military did in this case was they announced the contract and said, this contract is going to be worth more than $5 million, but we're not going to tell you how much. And it's for 10 years, for any amount of money, to send them anywhere. And literally in the last year alone, it's been worth over $1 billion, just one part of the contract. Now, the cost-plus element of it is if the company spends $100 in providing services to the military, they get to take $9, up to $9 in profit. So on the face of it, it seems like, you know, we live in a capitalist economy, that's a reasonable thing. You do services, you get to keep the profit. But when you think about this a little more deeply, you realize that if Halliburton were to charge $200, and they get to keep, instead of just $9, $18. And so there's an incentive to overspend, and that's indeed what's happened in the case of Halliburton working in the Balkans in Bosnia. They were bringing in plywood from the United States of America at $87 a sheet of plywood. Now, that same plywood here in the United States would cost $17, and in Bosnia it would probably cost even less. But because they were shipping it overseas by plane, they got to charge $87, and for that $87, they got to keep 9% in profit. So that's basically how these contracts work. And the military has often contracted out, particularly for the building of bases in Vietnam. For example, Halliburton's subsidiary, Kellogg Brown, is involved in building bases there. So that's not new. But having them do a lot of the most basic services is new. And this really started under Dick Cheney when he was Secretary of Defense under the President Bush Sr. He was assigned the task of figuring out how to downsize the military. And so nobody in the military particularly likes having to, you know, set up tents and clean up the toilets and cook the food. And so they figured, why not hand that over to a private company? And that's where Halliburton came in.
And so when they operate in these foreign countries like Vietnam, for example, or Afghanistan in the war on terror, now Iraq, who do they hire? Who do they employ to do these services? And what kind of pay do they get?
Well, they employ local people. To give you an example of Iraq, as we're speaking 2 weeks ago, Halliburton was hiring people in the port town of Umm Qasr for $2 a day. That's the going salary that they were paying their workers, because it's actually higher than the local wage, which is 50 cents. So the company, you know, said, you know, people, everybody wanted this job. And this is actually true. When I was in Incirlik in Turkey, people said, well, Halliburton pays twice as much as local companies do, so we want the jobs. But in comparison to what they would have to pay an American soldier or an employee from the United States, it's very little. And what they get to do is send expatriate overseers, American overseers who go there. They pay them probably hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, and hardship allowances, and provide them with brand new vehicles to drive around in. And so they make a profit, whereas the local people, although they're making a little more than they would normally make, basically sweatshop laborers in countries like Afghanistan, Uzbekistan. Currently, Halliburton's operating in 7 countries that we know of around the war on terrorism. Surrounding Iraq, they're in Turkey, Jordan, and Kuwait, and then Iraq also, so that makes 4. And then in Georgia, in the former Soviet Union, in Djibouti, in East Africa, in Afghanistan, and in Uzbekistan. And that contract alone, as of March 20th, of the day the bombing started, was already worth $1.15 billion just in the last year alone. And it had gone up $200 million in just 1 month. And because they have all these new support roles for the U.S. Invasion, the amount of money they're making has probably skyrocketed in literally in the last 4 weeks or so. Now, in addition, they have a contract to reconstruct. So that's just supporting the military. In addition, in Iraq, they have contracts to put out the oil wells, oil well fires.
And the terms of these contracts are often kept secret from the public and from the media by the administration. And as you just mentioned there, they received a contract to take care of the oil well fires. But as we're learning, there is a lot more to that. Can you tell us, A, why are they so secretive about these contracts? And B, what else, aside from putting out fires, is Halliburton going to be taking charge of in Iraq?
Well, Halliburton is already, as we speak, not simply just putting out oil well fires. There were only about 7 or 8 to put out, and they're probably largely under control. They're now in charge of helping run the oil infrastructure. The South Oil Company, which is the main Iraqi company that runs the oil out of South Ramallah and the oil fields around Basra, is being run by Halliburton. So Halliburton issues the IDs for the workers. They repair the pipeline, and they even distribute the oil. So all Iraqi oil right now, both in the north and in the south, is actually being run by Halliburton, an American company. And this is something that we were not told. Originally, when they got the contract, which in itself is a surprise, just to step back a little bit, all of this was planned by the administration a long time ago. Back in October of last year, Dick Cheney's office, the office of Tommy Franks, CENTCOM, that's the central command, people sat down and they planned what to do. And they did it under this thing called LOGCAP, the contract we described earlier, which is the open-ended contract. They said, well, this is something we can't really divulge this to the general public. We can't have an open contract. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk to our men at Kellogg Brown Root, because they already know. They literally said this. There's a letter that was provided to the office of Henry Waxman, congressman here in California, that said, the only people we could talk about this is Kellogg Brown and Root, because they were already, literally, I'm paraphrasing it somewhat, this is not the way they put it, they're already in bed with us. They're already working with us. It's probably more like what they said. So they know how we operate. We can work with them. We don't need to open this up for contracting. So it was a sole source contract, first to put out the oil well fires, and then, as we've just discovered, to actually run the oil infrastructure itself.
Now, I'm looking at an article that was published today, May 9th, and I've read this on IslamOnline.net, and it's a story about Halliburton's admitting to having bribed a Nigerian tax official, but it also goes into the question of the Iraq contract. And there's a quote here from Press Secretary Ari Fleischer, from the White House Press Secretary Ari Fleischer, and he says, quote, "It's not a White House issue. The White House does not get involved into who gets contracts." What do you make of this statement?
Well, technically, it's the Army Corps of Engineers that provides the contract, but it is something that was, the letter from Robert Flowers, the Secretary of the Army, who is in charge of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, it lays it out very plainly. This is a letter written on the 2nd of May to Henry Waxman. It lays it out plainly that after a meeting between the military, between Tommy Frank's office, they handed over the decision-making to the Army Corps of Engineers. So it was a direct mandate from the White House. It's true that the White House doesn't make the day-to-day decisions. It's true that Dick Cheney himself probably didn't meet with Halliburton. But people in his office met with Halliburton and ExxonMobil and Chevron Texaco in October to plan this. So all I can say is they're lying. They're stretching the truth. This is what they said before. And since you mentioned Nigeria, the case you mentioned is very interesting. It came out just yesterday that Halliburton has admitted to bribing a Nigerian tax official. And it was a sting conducted by the Nigerian tax authorities where they sent an agent, just as we might do in this country, to bust a business, you know, that's trying to solicit for bribes or some such thing. They sent in somebody to offer to reduce Halliburton's tax burden, and they met with the man a number of times, paid him, I forget how much it was, I think it's something in the region of $2.4 million, but I could be remembering this wrong, because I just saw it late last night online. Then the Nigerian government nabbed them, and Halliburton has admitted that this was actually, it's not allegations, Halliburton has actually admitted it.
We're speaking with Pratap Chatterjee, investigative reporter and host of Terra Verde on KPFA's Pacifica Radio, also a reporter with Free Speech Radio News. He's joining us by cell phones from somewhere in Northern California. Pratap, I just have a few more questions. I know you're kind of running behind your schedule there. It was recently disclosed that Dick Cheney is still receiving up to $1 million per year from Halliburton in what they call deferred compensation. Can you tell us more about this and
Absolutely,
what it says
yeah.
about these contracts?
The deferred compensation is basically, when he left Halliburton, he was given a golden parachute or whatever you call it. Basically, he was given a huge financial package, including his final year salary, bonuses, and a number of shares which he was allowed to sell back at a preferred price to the company. As a result, he netted something like $30 million. So a certain amount of it, originally he declared it was up to $1 million. It turned out that over the 5 years, it was a total of $900,000. So it's $180,000 a year that he's getting from the company. Now, the reason he does this, and a lot of people do it, it's perfectly legal, was to reduce his tax burden. So instead of paying it all, him getting all the $900,000 up front, in which case he'd have been in the highest income tax bracket, he's getting $180,000 a year. So every year, he gets a nice fat paycheck from Halliburton of $180,000, and he pays no tax on it, which I think is an affront to you, me, and your listeners who have to pay taxes on our income. This man, Vice President of the United States, doesn't pay taxes, and he gets to spend our tax money on a war, on an invasion. And that's, you know, what the deferred compensation package is all about. And sure, it's legal, but so was slavery.
Yeah, it's a really sad state of affairs. I mean, they are using our money to wage an unlawful war, I should mention. And then they use more taxpayer money to hire out for reconstruction to firms that they have formerly done business with. And they see no problem with this. It's just...
they're not the only company. Halliburton is not the only company they're contracting. There are other companies. Bechtel from San Francisco has the contract for reconstruction. Dyncor, a company which is now headquartered in California, used to be in Virginia, they have the contract to run the police force in Iraq. In Kuwait, Danco was guarding the military. A company of ex-military officials called Military Professionals Resources Incorporated was training the soldiers how to fire, shoot weapons. British Petroleum was given a contract to train the military on how to seize oil wells. The list goes on and on. And I actually wanted to mention there's going to be a deck of cards coming out next week, which is going to actually give you an opportunity to learn about all of these war profiteers, because that's exactly who they are. And it's something that a project that I worked on with a group of friends. And you might have heard in Iraq that they supposedly issued decks of cards to soldiers so they could arrest the 55 highest members of the Saddam Hussein's cabinet. Turned out it was a media stunt. Most of the pack of cards were being offered to the media and just, you know, a half dozen to soldiers, and then they sell it on the net. There's a company called IraqiPlayingCards.com, I think. Well, IraqiPlayingCards.org, IraqiPlayingCards.net.
I think everybody's getting that spam in their email every other day. At least I am.
Well, you can, instead of typing in IraqiPlayingCards.com, if next week you type in .org or .net or go to warprofiteers.com or .net, you'll be able to find out who the real war criminals are, who the war profiteers are. And in this deck of cards, the club suits are all the military companies that have won the contracts. The spades are all the oil companies that are winning contracts and profiting out of the war on terrorism. And the hearts, because they love you so much, are the government officials who have profited out of this military contract. And then there's another category of diamonds, which are the media and various other companies. So people should check that out, in addition to, of course, checking out corpwatch.org, where they can read the stories on Halliburton and Dynecor and Bechtel.
I hope that you also include the nine of the 30 members of the Defense Policy Board that have direct ties to those corporations.
We have some members of that, such as Richard Pearl is one of the people on that, on the deck of cards.
And I guess in closing, since you just mentioned the media, I'm looking at a yesterday, May 7th edition of the San Jose Mercury News, and I'm turning to page A3, where there's a story on the top fold column where it says, Cheney back on the ticket for 2004, Bush team quietly plans re-election bid, and it's this nice fluffy little piece about how Cheney is going to be on board again for 2004. Then I turn through the same edition of the Mercury News back to page A13 at the bottom fold. There is a story about Halliburton's role in rebuilding Iraq. It's titled Halliburton's Role in Rebuilding Iraq Grows Despite Flak. And it's essentially sort of just this story that it basically, to me, it paints a picture of sort of a political football with this issue between Democrats and Republicans. I'm wondering, can you talk more about media coverage of this issue and how it affects the public's right to know?
Well, it's really kind of disappointing in some ways that the media is not really focusing on the scandal. Although it's encouraging this year compared to last year, because last year nobody cared about the story. It was writing about Halliburton, and nobody followed up at all. And this year, at least, you know, the Wall Street Journal, Newsweek, people like that have, as you said, today's Mercury News has a little story about it. This is something that, actually, there's going to be a huge cover story in the New York Times magazine looking specifically at Halliburton. I helped the journalist, who lives actually down in Watsonville, right where you guys are. He's just back, actually, and he's working on the cover story for New York Times magazine, local Santa Cruz guy. So there's been more coverage this year. However, if you live in Iraq, you're not going to hear it, because your news in Iraq that's broadcast is actually broadcast by a Christian broadcasting company called Grace News Network. And that's run by a Christian broadcasting network. And I have no problems with Christians. I myself am Catholic. But what I'd like to point out is this is a company who on their website, you will see, I think it's gnn.org or some such thing, it says its mission is to change the course of news, to bring the good news of our Lord. And whereas I'm not particularly a faithful Catholic, I still don't think that the role of the news is to bring the news of Christ to an Islamic country. I think that would be considered interfering with their freedom of religion.
Well, any parting thoughts for our listeners today, Protop?
Well, just encourage people to check out www.corpwatch.org, corpwatch.org. And for people, you know, to write letters to Congress, you know, write and thank Henry Waxman and encourage him to continue. John Dingell of Michigan, who's also the only two people who are actually doing something. And, you know, if you have a chance, you should, if there's a protest in your area, I encourage listeners to go out, take part in the protest, you know, create placards and protest what Dick Cheney is doing. There was a protest just last week down in Santa Clara against General Dynamics when George Bush came to speak, and I hope that your listeners went out to protest then. If they didn't, they should go out to Santa Clara and protest General Dynamics, because these are the people that are building the Bradley fighting vehicles that you know, 10 years ago were burying hapless Iraqi soldiers in the sand after they surrendered.
Yeah. In fact, George Bush, in his speech, referred to the weapons facility over there as sort of a beacon of peace in the world and thanked them for their role in creating world peace. It made me really kind of sick. but I know you're in a hurry there, Protop, so I'm going to let you go. And thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Vinny.
And we'll look for those War Profiteer cards. And the website, again, is warprofiteers.org or .net.
Warprofiteers.org and warprofiteers.net.
All right.
Well, and .com. All three? Not .org. .org is not right. It's .com. Warprofiteers.com and warprofiteers.net. Check it out in about a week's time.
Okay.
The cards will be available to the general public.
We'll be looking for that. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And indeed, you're tuned into Rockin' the Boat on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. That was Protop Chatterjee, host of Terra Verde, aired each Friday afternoon on KPFA in Berkeley, California. He is also with CorpWatch.org and is the author of more than 1,000 articles printed in various print journals like the Multinational Monitor, The Progressive, The Guardian, and the Financial Times of London. And he is an expert on the deeds of Halliburton and our Vice President Dick Cheney. My name is the V-Man. This is Rockin' the Boat. Next Monday on the show between 5:30 and 6, I'll be speaking with retired Colonel Dan Smith. We're going to be discussing post-war Iraq and the moves that the United States is making to attack Syria. He has a 30-year military career and was formerly employed in the Defense Intelligence Agency. It should be a very interesting discussion. I encourage you to tune in on Monday at 5:30, right after Free Speech Radio News. Stay tuned to 96.3 FM Freak Radio.